Soleil, thank you for being a guest on the Heart of Connection podcast. I'm Mark Randall, your host. It's lovely to reconnect and have a conversation with you. How's life up in Queensland? How's life in Queensland?
Life in Queensland is awesome. I love it up here. I just love the weather, and the weather makes me happy. I just love the fact that I'm 2 blocks from the beach and I can walk along the water with my feet in the sand or in the water, watch the pelicans go past, and yeah, just, I don't know, the sun, I'm solar powered, so the sun just makes me happy.
How long have you been up there now?
I sort of make pilgrimages back to Queensland. So basically I've been here, I started in the 1980s being in Queensland, and then I've sort of been around Australia to different places and been back for around about 3 years. Back into the heat, and as I said, I just I don't do well in the cold weather. It just makes it hard for me to care for myself as much as it, you know, as I can do it up here, I suppose. You know, it's easier to be more self-nurturing when I can get outside into nature, I suppose.
Is there a connection to that warmth?
Well, as I said, I'm solar powered. So if I don't get the sun on me, at least, you know, sometime during the day, I usually feel like my batteries are a little flatter. And if it's a dull day, then that's not as, you know, harmonious for me as having the sun. So it really does connect me to myself, I guess. I really feel a connection to the sun. I mean, my name means sun in French. So there's a bit of a connection there,
wow.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how does it work on your connection to yourself? How do you experience the warmth? What does it do for your, you know, connection and self-care?
I think for me, you know, it is the sun, but it's also nature. So if I need to connect with myself, I'm most connected if I'm down the beach and by the ocean. So going down and just walking in the water, like I said, or walking in the sand. Sometimes I just sit on a rock and meditate and just listen to the water, or I do some yoga down at the waterfront, and also or some stretching, whatever it is that I feel like. And I just close my eyes and just be. That's the best way for me to connect. Occasionally I'll go lie down on the grass down by the waterfront, which usually doesn't last as long as I'd like because I normally get eaten by ants. But so that's a little bit hard to be connected when you're being eaten. So, but yeah, it's really the beach that does it for me. I tried to live inland for a couple of years. I lived in Wagga Wagga and nearly went crazy. So I have to have the ocean. And I grew up by the ocean, as you know. So that's a big, huge part of me, the ocean and the bush.
Whereabouts when you are along on the beach or lying down, what happens to your body? What do you notice? What do you experience happens in your body?
For me, my body is usually pretty, even though I might do exercise or do whatever, it'd be sore, my body is able to relax very well. So I don't hold a lot of muscle tension when I decide to just lie or be. Like I just had a massage this morning and I'm floppy like a cat. So I'm able to let go and surrender my body to the ground or to the beach or to a massage table or whatever. And my mind is generally pretty blank. You know, like I said before, just I don't really hold. I'm not really, my memory's not great in the sense that I don't hold things in my consciousness anymore. It's like a blank space up there. And when things need to come through, they come through. So it's like all of the information and the data and everything that I might have learnt over my years, you know, working with people, or even things that might be part of like a collective unconscious or subconscious or whatever you want to call it, can come through, you know, channeled through, if you like, as they're needed. So when I'm working with clients, for instance, I just hold a space and I just sit. I might ask some curious questions. I reflect things back to people, and I maintain an open a very open space where I haven't got anything in my head. I write notes down on a piece of paper if I'm working with someone, and the reason for that is so that my mind can be really clear and I don't have to retain or remember anything. And so I go through my life like that. I have to write myself lists, you know, to go down to the shop and get three things, because I get down there and I can't remember what it was that I was going to get. So it's sort of a nice place to be, just pretty empty, really.
What goes on, can I just check in, what goes on at a heart level when there's in the clearness of your mind?
I really feel that my soul is very integrated within my physical body, and mm-hmm. and I guess I think of life as, I think of the universe or whatever as being very multidimensional. So I believe I exist in various different dimensions at once. And whatever you want to call that dimension, you know, is esoteric or not, or just being able to have thoughts, feelings, sensations, maybe they're all different dimensions. I don't really know, really. But my heart is clear as my head. So I sort of feel nothing. It's like a nothing, but it's an everything at the same time.
Is it a beautiful nothing?
Sorry?
Is it a beautiful nothing, if we were to put a label to it? Is there
it's a peaceful nothing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and I get moved every now and then by beauty, where I might get some tears, but usually there'll just be a moment of, wow, that's amazing, and, you know, bring tears to my eyes. But in terms of getting happy, like, oh, not happy, but probably sad or angry or any of those things that I might have been a long time ago, you know, where I might have been triggered or a bit annoyed or upset for maybe, I don't know, let's say half an hour or something. If there is anything that might trigger me these days, the upset is literally for a few seconds. So I feel like I'm almost like a newborn baby that just doesn't hold on to anything.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I guess, yeah, the heart space, everything space is just feels sort of clear and peaceful. And it's most of the time, you know, every now and then there'll be something like paperwork that I might have to do that's, you know, a bit confusing, or there's a pile of it or something that might challenge that peace momentarily. But normally it doesn't stay around for long.
Is there a freedom in it?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a freedom in it?
A free minute?
Freedom. Just a free...
Freedom in it. Yeah, there is. There's a freedom in not having to be something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like the cup. A cup is just a cup until you put something in it. And so the cup doesn't have to do anything except sit there and wait to receive. I don't know. That's an instant analogy I just came up with. But I don't know if that's really making sense.
Do you dissolve when you're in that space? Is it like the sense of self? Does that dissolve into and connect to a broader universal energy? Is there you talked of the different dimensions. Is that what happens for you?
Yeah, I guess sense of self. I don't, you know, when you were asking me earlier about introducing myself, and I was just like, I don't know what to say, because I don't use labels and identification or story to describe myself. I do various things, you know, I do painting, I do artwork, I make music, but as far as if you ask me to describe who I am, it's just a am, if that makes any sense. Yeah. And I've forgotten your question. See, I told you I can't retain anything.
You've got that space. There's a clearness in your mind and in your heart. And in that space, you know, is there do you dissolve, or are you immersed, or you know, completely connected to all that is?
I think sometimes Yeah, look, it's a very hard to define and to describe. Probably the best thing I said was the cup, in the sense that there's, it's not an emptiness, as in like a loss or a lack, and it is a fullness, mm-hmm. to at some extent of just being present. I suppose it's just being present, and just being fully present with whatever is currently around me.
In that full presence, can you describe the energy in your body that you experience as you're in that full presence?
It's just a calmness. I don't feel agitated. I'm just calm. I'm just being in a space. It's not floating. I feel like I'm grounded.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I'm sort of off with the fairies, so to speak. I can feel very connected. I've got an avocado tree. So, the other day I was up there picking avocados off the tree. And I feel, I can feel very connected to the tree, and like I'm connected to all of, the dog barking in the background here and the light, the moon when it's around, the sun, so all of those things connected, I suppose, isn't it? Bit of an expansive type feeling.
Yep. How do you share that? Do you share that expansiveness with others?
I just share myself with others. So what I was saying to you before about I don't do psychotherapy anymore, I just share that. To me, this is probably the highest level of use of self in work, is that presence of self. And the clearer that you are as a person without, your own triggers, without your own demons and things floating around, whatever they might be, or traumas. I've done, the most amount of work during my life on personal development, not professional development as such. So I feel like I'm very clear, and the clearer that I am, the more people can be reflected when they perhaps, if you think about a mirror, and I'm not trying to, I don't have an ego about this. This is just sort of what happens.
Yep.
But, if you think about a mirror, some mirrors are greasy or dusty or whatever. People don't see themselves very well when they look into that mirror. Whereas if you've got a clear mirror, you reflect back at yourself clearly. Sometimes people don't want that view, and so they choose not to be in my presence, which is fine. Other people like to explore and find out a bit more about what they see, and that's the space that I create for them to choose to be in, if that's what they want to do.
And what's that connection like as you create that space? Can you describe that connection? Is there a... Yeah, in that presence, sometimes it's hard to put words to it, but yeah, when you've got that presence, can you describe the space?
Like I said before, it's a calmness, and it's a joy, and I'm not trying to say that I'm like the Dalai Lama, but the Dalai Lama, for instance, having seen him in person, is this sort of childlike joy that bubbles over. He can be sort of righteously angry in the sense of from a perhaps a spiritual truth point of view on the occasion, but he just bubbles over with joy and with a delightful sort of presence. And I guess when I think about what it's like when I'm with clients, I find that clients become resonant with that, and so they often come in and go, I had no intention of saying this, talking about this, whatever. They start to experience joy within themselves and start to laugh. Some of them say this, they haven't laughed like that for a long time, and they're quite surprised. And so I guess it's just trying to hold, not even hold, just be that energy so that they can experience that and reconnect with that within themselves, because the whole thing that I'm working towards really is people remembering and reconnecting and re-empowering themselves, which is all, you know, what my business is all about, and removing the dust and the layers of adulteration and you know, being stuck in boxes and matrix and labels and trying to live up to things that are not theirs. So just really trying to ditch everything that's inauthentic and distorted, and all the illusions and projections and programming and imprinting and conditioning that has been bestowed upon them, for instance, or they have decided to bestow upon themselves, and just letting that go to become the clearest version of themselves.
Is the letting go a healing?
Letting go?
Yeah, is the letting go a healing? Is there a process of healing in there?
Yeah, there is. You know, there's that reconnection aspect is the joyful rediscovery of the gifts that they already have. And so, you know, that can bring a lot of tears of relief, and also the letting go of not needing to hang on to traumas and stories and things and causation, this caused that, and just going, you know what, I don't need that anymore. I can let that go. And so it's just that allowing, letting go, releasing process that's the healing and awakening sort of aspect of it.
Do they let that go at a heart level, or do they let it go both at a heart level and a mind level?
Well, I think not just heart and mind. I think it's body as well. The body, you know, is people like the Beth Rothschild and quantum physics and Deepak Chopra, and everyone will tell you their body remembers. And so often there are cellular memories that people have. And so the body has to catch up sometimes with the conscience and the decisions that people have made around what's true or not true for themselves. So they let go at a feeling level, at a heart level, at a mind level, and at a body level. Mm-hmm. And then the soul comes through more clearly.
When you said the soul comes through, it took me to the word love. I connected to love there. I'm just wondering, do you see that as a label, or is that an energy? Is that a?
I see love as an energy, and I think love is it. You know, love is the energy that we grow and flourish in, and love takes many forms, and love never dies. It actually just reforms. So, you know, for instance, when people are in a relationship and they end that relationship, or that relationship ends, that love hasn't died. It just takes another form in whatever the next person is that they then share that love with. So love, I think, is definitely an energy.
What would happen to the world, to Mother Earth and to the world, if we evolve more into the soul of the love of the soul, or the whatever the we want to call it? How would that then manifest on a broader global level, do you believe?
Yeah, look, obviously, you know, the more people are in a space of love, the less war we will have, the more tolerance and compassion we'll have for animals, people and the planet. And so I think that's only a good thing. You know, Andrew Harvey, if you know Andrew Harvey, talks about sacred activism, which is another concept that sort of relates to people looking after the world that they live in. So, you know, I think more people would probably take part in sacred activism. And I guess I used to be one of those people that campaigned for animal rights and rights of the planet. And I was, you know, used to be a ban the bomb and anti-Iranian marches when I was at university a long time ago. And I got to a place where I let that go. And I came to a place of acceptance around not agreement, but acceptance of the way that things work themselves out. So if you hold a place of fear or a vibration of anger, then you're not receptive to love.
Mm-hmm.
You become judgmental of other people, and so that's not a loving space. So I came to that conclusion and ditched that previous focus, and now I just sit in a space of love and share that with as many people as possible.
How do they respond?
Who?
The people you sit with.
I think, well, they generally sort of, unless they don't want to see themselves, like I said, they generally open up, and they just say, you know, that they feel lighter in my presence.
Are they feeling loved?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering sometimes, in the relearning, in the reprogramming and letting go, is there, because at a cellular level, to receive love can sometimes be foreign for people.
Absolutely. And I used to,
Go on.
Well, I guess, you know, having worked as a body worker, that was really evident a lot of the time. You know, when I put loving hands on people doing massage or spiritual healing, whatever you want to call it, channeling through whatever, people would cry a lot. You know, I remember one of my clients said that, you know, the touch was like the touch of the mother she never had. Mm. And so for people to be able to be gifted with an experience of loving space or words or touch is a gift for people. And very healing.
Yeah, and I just wanted to check in. How touching is that for you too, as you're sharing that with me? I just got to, for me, I resonated with it. There's a real touching there in you too.
Well, I do. I just, that lights my world up. I love, that's why I do what I do, because I see people respond and I see them blossom and I see them awaken and they'll go and do the ripple effect on others with what they've now taken away from that, what they've rediscovered within themselves. There's no magical power on my part. It's just really just me being in a space and them recognizing, their soul, if you like, recognizes that that space is there and that they feel safe and that they can come out to play.
How do we keep, do we need to remind ourselves to keep connecting to that space, or is there do you have a process to keep anchoring into that space? Because it sounds like when people are anchored in that space, it's there.
Yeah, look, I take care of myself. I eat food that's as high a vibration as I can sort of get my hands on, so it's always fresh and it's organic if possible, and it's free range if I choose to eat meat, which I do choose to eat some. And the reason that I do that, which some people might argue with, is not, high enough vibration, is that it allows me to actually be a bridge from maybe some of the higher, and I use the word higher, not in any sort of egotistical way, just a different level of knowledge or understanding or broader brush understanding. It allows me to translate some of those concepts and things into a language that is met by people who might not be in that level of understanding yet. So if I was perhaps too esoteric it just seems to work for me at the moment, that choosing to eat some level of meat, and I'm extremely grateful for all that I eat, doesn't matter whether it's a plant or an animal or whatever, that seems to, it's a slightly denser energetic field, and that allows me to be that bridge. But I'd look after myself. I'd do the self-care. I'd make myself fresh vegetable juice every morning. I check in with my space. My space is really harmonious, and that's really important to me, to be in a harmonious, non-emotionally polluted environment. and just making sure that my mind is free of judgment. And I think there's a difference between judgment and discernment. Mm-hmm. So discernment, you know, is saying, okay, perhaps I need to go this way, not that way. Judgment is a very different ball game. So I still exercise discernment, but prefer to not exercise any sort of judgment if possible.
When you are exercising judgment, do you bring awareness to yourself and remind yourself, how I'm in judgment here, can I get back into discernment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does the heart play a role in that? Or is that
bringing yourself back to, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely, you know, because, you know, it's about being your own observer mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, sometimes, and there was a recent sort of situation where there was some negativity around me in a workspace, and I felt myself getting drawn into that. I'm like, I really don't want to be in here or involved in that. I don't want to participate in that. So I had to be very mindful of not being drawn into some sort of negative swamp and remain sort of remain clear and open, but not shut down. Like, I think, you know, you don't want to be shutting down and shutting off other people. You might just want to remove yourself from the space of that, if possible, whether that's geographically or somehow by shifting the energy, if you can.
Being open-hearted but vulnerable. Yeah. Being open-hearted but vulnerable.
Yeah. Vulnerable is an interesting word.
Yeah.
Some people really struggle with the word vulnerable. So I guess I would prefer to just use open, just being open and mm-hmm. receptive,
mm-hmm.
Whilst, you know, not allowing things to disturb your energy field.
And if they do disturb that energy field, how do you then bring yourself back?
I use the breath. Yeah, I use my breath and I just tune in, or I might take a moment and move myself to somewhere else or go outside, or depends on where I am. You know, if you can't avoid being around people if you go shopping or something like that. But I used to get very affected. I used to be very highly sensitive to other people's energy fields, and I would be quite excruciating to go shopping into a big shopping centre. Mm. And we have plenty of them up here, unfortunately. And so I'd get out of there and I'd be just wiped after an hour and a half. I just was like, I'm done. I can't be around all these people. Whereas now I don't have the same issue. And it's, I think, because I'm much more masterful in how I manage my own energy now than I was.
I don't know whether this is, I'm just, yeah. Do you drop in to your soul? And in that mastery, is the mastery of dropping in, a dropping into the depth within yourself to connect to a deeper aspect of yourself that's able to hold and bring that presence to the sensitive nature?
I think that's probably a good description, because I'm sort of doing it as I'm talking to you right now. I'm in that space, and it's like I'm inside my body, mm-hmm. so I'm looking out from inside my body, and it's very hard to explain this.
Yeah,
stuff,
it is. And this is quite this is something that is. It's, you know, a friend of mine, Andrew, he described it. It's hard to encapsulate the essence of what we're talking about. It in words is difficult.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, essence is a good word. Mm-hmm. You know, that you go back into the essence of yourself, which is the true nature of yourself, and you reside from there with a And there's a like I said before, there's an empowerment in that space.
Good word.
So if you are clear and cleansed and as clean as possible in terms of your own self, and self even is, you know, an identity thing. It's hard to describe things, but if you're in that clear space, then it's fairly impervious to interruption. It's only when we have lots of baggage and emotional stuff going on and wounds and traumas and whatever that they become the trigger points that others can press, and therefore that disturbs the energy field.
But I'm wondering whether they can also be the teachers to enable us to heal them so that we can drop into that depth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think definitely, you know, I've been through my share of bits and pieces in, you know, during my life, and it's about clearing those. And like I was saying before, around Matt Kahn saying, you know, whatever you arises, love that. You know, that if you allow and you don't fight and you don't resist the expression of yourself or whatever needs to come out, then that will clean, you know, tip out the bucket, and then you'll be left with the empty cup, like I said before.
And it's beautiful to sit here, you know, yeah, you're miles away, but it felt like for me a resonating with you and, you know, the dropping in and touching that soul. It was like, yeah, there's a beautiful, the depth of presence there.
Yeah, and
it's very powerful.
Great. The questions that you're asking are great questions too, because it allows me to reflect on this, and you're following along where we're going on the journey together. So that's lovely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space, and it's really, the conversations are amazing where they go, and to the depth that we can reach and touch and share. And the more we share it, you know, as you and I share it, we're sharing it with others. And as you say in your work, you know, you're sharing it with others. And, you know, the flow-on effect of that, you know, and the flow-on effect is how do we, the more we share this with the world, I'm wondering whether the world can become a much better place. How much more can we heal it? How much more can we give it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the other things that changed for me as well, and we were talking about workshops earlier, but, you know, I don't so much teach anymore, you know, and I am very much a disseminator of information generally, and that's been a lot of my work, and a facilitator of processes and things, but now I'm much more, the teacher is just me being me, and I don't need to, and I've never been into giving advice to anyone anyway, but I don't need to be as active as I was previously in sharing information. People will come to me, and if they wanted to discover, a bit like you, like, you know, if you want to discover a bit more about me and where I'm coming from and what I do and how I am, then you can just ask. So it's less about me sort of going and actively trying to teach. And so we were talking about web pages and YouTube channels and things like that, and I'm much less active on there than I was at the start, because it's like I don't really have it, although you probably disagree with it now, but, you know, I feel like I haven't really got that much to say. It's more around just being.
And, you know, that is the, you know, that's the essence. The being is the essence. And how much healing just goes on in that presence. Is really powerful. It's really empowering.
Absolutely.
Deeply empowering, and that's the gift.
Yeah.
Is there any final, there's hundreds of final, any other messages you'd like listeners to take from your story today, from your conversation? Is there a final thing that's not been said that needs to be said today or shared today?
Look, honestly, the only thing I say to people is just be you. You know, you were put on the planet to be you, and so it's a matter of getting rid of all that isn't you, and that doesn't serve you anymore, so that you can just be the most clear version of you, and that will make you the most happiest. So it's just being authentic and being real, you know. And if you're in a messy space, then be in a messy space and be real. You don't have to hide that, and that might be the thing that helps someone else get into a messy place and clear something in them. So
well done.
It's all about just sharing ourselves.
Okay, beautiful. So Laith, hey, what a lovely thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been delightful.
It's great. And what I might do is have a conversation with you and, as we finish, and then those names you mentioned, I'll add them in the show notes, so to speak, to backlink them in the show notes, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Kylie.
All right.
Lovely to talk. Lovely conversation.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Namaste.
Okay. Bye.